Allison.
Evan.
Allison. Toxicity. Gestures. Evan. King. Positivity. The heart of Bad Fleas Nation. Welcome.
I was wondering how long you were going to do that for.
To Bad Fleas. I'm Evan Delaney.
And I'm Allison Gunnell.
And we've got a jam-packed episode today.
Jam-packed.
So many things to talk about. We are on the third episode, third installment of Matt's journey. I think he's getting better, but this was my favorite episode of the season so far.
Okay. I don't know.
Are you against that? I mean, we only have three to choose from.
I just feel bored.
Bored, really?
Yeah, I feel like the season is boring.
I thought this episode was wildly entertaining.
It was fine. We'll get into more of the details, but in all, which I just had a conversation before with Lisa.
Okay.
My mom.
Shout out.
Shout out to Lisa.
My second favorite mom.
Yeah, I was going to say. Evan's other
mom. A close second, though. Careful, Melanie. She's creeping up.
And
kidding, Mom. I love you.
My first favorite mom. And she shared similar feelings to how I feel about the season so far, which is that Matt genuinely seems like a freaking catch. Like, Matt's good looking. Mm-hmm. Matt is smart. Matt is super nice. He seems like a very genuine guy. He seems like someone you want to bring home.
Absolutely.
To meet your family. Like, you're proud to, like, show off your relationship with him.
Totally.
But in that sense, he's also, I don't want to say boring, because it's not that I think he's a boring person. It's just that I don't think he's a made-for-TV bachelor.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Like, yes. You know, oh, 100%. And I think that's kind of why they started to push the envelope a little bit on the surrounding drama, which I think a lot of it was pushed at least in some way by the producers, but also in terms of the dates and everything. Like, I think they kind of saw that, oh, we know he's kind of boring, so we need to make up for it. And that's what they have done so far. And this explains, yeah, I think, too, why they bring in more contestants in the middle of the season. I think they see the signs and are used to doing this now, and it's just like, oh, Matt's kind of a stiff.
Right.
We gotta shake this up a little bit.
Right.
But the episode actually starts with the rose ceremony from last week.
Oh, yes.
And we
the
we,
only rose ceremony that we get in, yeah, this whole freaking episode.
In two episodes, we get one rose ceremony. Look, we're against that formula. We want one rose ceremony
at
per
the
episode.
End of each episode.
It's all we're asking
Please,
for.
Please, just give us a freaking rose ceremony.
Return to normalcy.
Yes, God.
But anyways, so Sarah faints. She gets back up.
Not really.
Well, she just kind of gets lightheaded.
Fully faint.
Yeah, right. She gets lightheaded. The girls are a little bit dubious as to whether or not this was a real or fake faint.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I have a hard time believing it was manufactured, because she already had a rose. They're there for a long period of time. Like, it was probably super late at night. She may have been a little tipsy. And just the physical elements played into the fact that
you
she definitely could
have fainted. You also have lights on you, and
right,
you have all,
yeah,
this other stuff. Like, I don't think it was fake.
No.
I mean, maybe it was a little over-dramatized after the fact, once,
yeah,
she realized she was just fine, to be like, ooh, Matt's going to come check on me.
Yeah.
But I don't think the initial, like, oh, I'm feeling lightheaded, because I didn't think she made a big scene out of it. She,
no,
just kind of walked away. She didn't, like, make a big production.
No, you're right.
It became a bigger one when Matt walked after her and, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But
yeah, I think there was sort of a split camp onto whether or not she faked it or whether or not it was real. My favorite quote from this is Victoria, and she was a shining star this
she
episode.
She was on one last night.
And she's just like, I've never fainted before. And like, so sure about it. And we'll get to her a little bit later, but I'm so in on Victoria. I can't even stress enough how much I want her to stay for the end of this season.
Evan's all in on Victoria.
And it has nothing to do with like, oh, I think she's a good fit for Matt, or like,
no,
I would want to date her. She is flawless television.
She is definitely interesting television, which is all part of the whole thing of that I think she's a hired plant that ABC hired to put her on the season.
Well, so there's another podcast out there that I don't recommend you listen to. I believe this one is called Here to Make Friends. And I guess one of the hosts on that show knows someone who like went to college or high school with Victoria, and attests that like this is who she is. Like, she is this person in real life. She might be exaggerating it a little bit on TV, but, like, this is her character.
In addition to that, though, I did also see some other stuff on both TikTok and on, like, other social medias of people saying this is who she is, but she's a really nice person. She's a good friend. Like, I saw a few people that were like, yes, she's a lot, but, like, she's a really great person and friend, and they're making her look like she's not.
Right. No, I think you kind of see that this episode, too. Like, the girls seem to get along with Victoria a little bit more. I think they just understand that they have to take her little doses of crazy. But, like, as long as you're on her good side, I think she's cool for you, at least.
Yeah.
But when she's against you, watch out. Forget it. She holds nothing back.
That is for sure.
Huge fan. Okay, so the rose ceremony ends. Marilyn, Alana, and Kristen are the ones that did not get the roses, at least the ones that I saw. I think only three didn't get them.
And they really only showed Marilyn. I, like, literally didn't even realize the other people. Yeah, she got the orchid.
But yeah, it was sort of anticlimactic. Like, we knew that Victoria was going to keep going on because she was in previews.
For sure.
It could kind of be assumed that Marilyn wasn't because, again, not in previews. Mm-hmm. And then Kristen, who actually I was pretty high on after week one, just didn't have the staying power, and nor did Alana. So now we're down to, I don't even know how many.
No clue.
We'll just say 18. We're down to 18 people.
We don't know that at all.
Give or take. But again, this, I talked a little bit about how the producers and Chris Harrison in particular see that the season is going a little slower than they would have liked to have. So Chris comes in and is like, hey, I'm shaking things up a bit. You have some Chris Harrison curated dates coming up that are going to push you out of your comfort zones. And we get that with the first group date. And I think I'm going to assume, based on your text to me last night, that we're going to have differing opinions on this group date. I loved it.
Okay. Here's my thoughts. So, well, they started, Ashley I shows up. Ashley I is always around.
Okay. I didn't know who that was.
Ashley I met her husband on Bachelor in Paradise. They're still together. Okay. Whatever. So she always pops up from time to time. And she's doing a dramatic reading of one of the sex scenes of Chris Harrison's book.
Which you've read.
The Perfect Letter, which I actually do have. Evan got it for me for my birthday last year. Yes, and I did read it, and it was really good.
How was that scene that she was reading? Did you remember that scene?
I didn't really remember it, but there was a handful of sex scenes.
Is it weird that, like, Chris Harrison's writing about that? Or is it, like,
he's just an adult? Not really to me, just because, I mean, we're talking about the guy who gives you the key to the fantasy suite here.
Like, true. He's giving your mind the key to your fantasy suite. Exactly. So,
not really, but it was a good book. Like, I thought the book was good.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then they're all tasked with writing their own, like, erotic short story novel synopsis kind
of
thing.
Didn't have to be erotic, right? But like, it was a love scene.
I mean, it basically had to be erotic.
Yeah.
I felt, okay, here was my, like, roller coaster of feelings during this. First, I was like, this is so stupid. Like, how uncomfortable. Then I was like, oh, well, they're only performing it for each other.
Yeah.
It's not like they're performing in front of some stupid crowd or something, so it's not that big of a deal. Then I was like, okay, Matt actually had to do it too, so that makes it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, I was like, I don't know. But the girls themselves were like, no, this was so empowering. Like, it was nice to be able to talk openly about sex because that's not something that is typically allowed either on the show or in regular life without it being, like, taboo. So they were, like, empowered by it. And I'm all about that. So if they felt empowered, then so be it. I don't think I personally would have been super into that date, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all for feeling empowered.
Yeah, I mean, they seemed to have such a good time doing it. I think even Rachel, who said she was one of the more uncomfortable ones doing it, was like, her face hurt from smiling so much. And the sex positivity was great.
Yeah.
And to your point, you know, if people were uncomfortable with it, here is one of the best moves that they could have made last night. Is instead of reading it to the crowd,
I know what you're going to say.
They whisper it in Matt's ear.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be a game changer?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because first of all, you turn him on.
You're right. Like, you're right. So that's not where I thought you were going to go with it. Where I thought you were going to go with it was, like, if you felt really uncomfortable, you could be like, well, in my scene, they just hold hands because they're not married yet. So true, I don't, yeah. And I'm not married yet.
Because you gotta wait.
And since I, and you could be like, and I'm not married yet either, so I don't even know how to describe the scene. That's where I thought you were gonna go.
No. But
either way, two other approaches.
Yeah, I think the whisper one would have gotten you mad points.
Oh, for sure.
Mad Matt points.
Matt points.
I liked Anna, Anna's was good because it had that, like, good ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they all, I guess, for them, had good endings, if you know what I mean.
Happy endings, if you will.
I wish I could hear what Victoria's was because it was all bleeped out.
I want to hear it so bad. I wish she would have, posted on her Instagram story or something so we could all hear what did she actually say.
Katie's had a lot of bleeps in it, which, like, was expected. I really like Katie. She's, like, a top three for like my personal
Katie's
top
cool.
three.
I like her too.
I really enjoyed the group date, and I think just the fact that they had fun doing it made me like it more.
I still want to see more freaking variation and uniqueness in the group dates, and I'm getting and I just
what do you mean what do you mean this that is like we've already seen something
we've
like
done
this?
Poetry readings, write a story, yeah. Write your love story, write this, like they've done so many things like that, that it's like, can we please just like get some fresh group dates?
One of our recurring complaints about this show and the franchise is kind of the cookie cutter repetition it has.
The lack of originality in dates is, it drives me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of anyone else's that really stood out to me, but I'm glad they all had a good time. Someone who didn't have a good time throughout the date was Sarah.
Yeah.
So we kind of went on a roller coaster with Sarah this entire episode, where it started with the maybe faint, and then it kind of got to it was very uncomfortable that the person that she just spent a one-on-one date with was hearing these stories from these women. She took it very personally. I think she completely overreacted to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she was so uncomfortable with the fact he was spending time with other women, that other women were going to get one-on-one dates.
And she was still there in the room. It's not like...
No, she was still very much present. She had already had a one-on-one date. They already had a strong connection. So she was pretty... I don't know. It was pretty dramatic. And it was also like, what show do you think you're on? Like, right. I don't understand.
Right. And I understand, like, you may not know what to expect entirely when you go on the show, but you know that they're... This is how it works. Like, you have
Absolutely.
To date with 30 other women at one time. And she clearly wasn't cut out for the show. And I think a lot of, we'll get to her personal, like, home life things later. But I think early on in this episode, that wasn't as much of a factor. I think it was more of the fact that she was envious of Matt spending this time with the other women. She didn't like the progress they were making right in front of her.
Well, at the end of the day, what she even said herself, she's not cut out for this.
Right.
She's just not cut out for the show, for the structure of it, for how it all plays out. It's just not for her.
Yeah. So then we get to the cocktail party part. Again, we have Sarah just interrupts the date.
Yeah.
Entirely.
I did not like that at all. So Sarah comes, it was not her date, and she just had to tell Matt right then and there that she was feeling insecure.
Yeah.
And Katie was actually in the middle of talking with him. Mm-hmm. And Sarah was like, can I talk to you? And Katie was like, literally 2 minutes. And Sarah's like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Katie's like, how about two? So Katie came back. The girls were like, you need to go back. She went back two additional times.
Yeah.
To be like, look, this is our group date and you are taking our time. So eventually Sarah finally, you know, Matt leaves. They make out a little bit. Matt's like, no, just remember our conversation.
And
you're
Katie
so great.
Can hear them making out. But also Katie was lurking around when those two were talking for a little bit. I'm so in on Katie just as a person.
No, I like Katie too.
She is hilarious. She like acts how any normal person would, I think, on this show.
Yeah, I agree. So this straight up just pissed off everyone.
Right. And rightfully so.
Absolutely.
Like, it was not her time to come in. She literally just had a one-on-one. So the fact that she wasn't getting her adequate time with Matt is an invalid argument.
Mm-hmm.
I think she just kind of crumbled under the pressure of all that was happening. And I don't think at this point, at least it wasn't conveyed that
there was anything else.
Yeah, it was just sort of the Matt deal. again, another Victoria quote is, and this is how, like, I respect how Victoria plays a game, because she said, sure, I would interrupt like my own group date, but I would never come in on someone else's. Like she has morsels of integrity. I know. You know,
it was funny. Last night she was funny, but it was during that cocktail party group, that group date cocktail party, that Victoria went outside to follow Sarah.
Yeah.
And she was like,
wait, what's the deal?
She's like, what's going on?
She's
like,
so abrasive when she asks questions.
And Sarah was like, no. And like, I feel like we have a connector. Or no, Victoria was like, I feel like we had a good connection. And Sarah's like, oh, no, we do.
They
like,
held hands. It's weird.
And Victoria's like, but you have to understand that like everyone is really upset that you came into our group date. And then Katie came out to talk to her.
Yeah.
And it didn't go super well. Katie was pretty pissed.
Yeah.
Understandably so. And Sarah was just kind of like, I just need to talk to him. And she was kind of like, well, you didn't need to right then because you interrupted my time. And now other people didn't actually get time.
Yeah. Because I think Kayla didn't get any time. Anna didn't get any time.
Serena C.
And then Katie's was abbreviated.
Yeah. So, you know, that whole thing happened. The group date rose went to our girl, Rachel.
Yeah.
She got the group date rose. He felt like she had opened up and that their relationship was progressing.
There's some questionable stuff on Rachel out there on the...
Really?
On the Bachelor Reddit spheres.
I haven't seen anything.
She has some Confederate flag...
Really?
...picture stuff.
Huh. That's interesting.
I guess in high school, she mocked a classmate for, I guess, dating a black person. And...
That's interesting.
Obviously, like, completely reprehensible. I hope she's changed since then. That was high school.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
But there are also things more recently from, like, college sororities where she's taking pictures in front of.
Okay, well, obviously I hope that's not true. But especially the high school thing. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt for now that it is high school. And I hope that she has moved on from the immaturity of that. And then she has grown up from that. Or that is...
Doesn't make it right by any means.
No. And again, these are obviously... We are not detectives and they are in the Reddit world. So not... You know, who knows what's exactly true or not true? I don't know. But what's... The other thing about Matt, which just reminds me because we both have Rachel in our final four and possibly
Rachel winning it.
Is that as of now... I mean, I know it's only week three. It feels like it's been much longer than that. I think just because there was like no break in between Bachelorette and Bachelor, it feels like it's been going on forever.
We've talked about the time warp of the last
months. With the exception of Sarah, I do not think he has a strong connection with anyone yet at all.
No, I think
he's got little things here and there, but like nothing big.
I think the strongest was with Sarah, but maybe that's just because of time allotment. Like he just spent the most time with her.
And because that's how they wanted to swing the first few episodes. Like, they kind of, you know, skew a little bit of who gets the most time.
I do think he has relatively strong connections with Bree and with Rachel. Abigail has been MIA the last two episodes. She was kind of the all-star of the first ep. And then it's kind of just, like, faded into the background these last two. So I hope that doesn't happen. I hope, because she's a Final Four gal for me.
Yeah.
And actually, Sarah was in our final four, so we have to readjust a little bit. We'll get to that later. But where am I? I don't know. I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, well, that's the end of the group date. One-on-one now.
Ah, okay, one-on-one. So prior to this, actually, Matt wanted to address the room about the Sarah situation the night before. And lo and behold, Sarah's not there.
Mm-hmm. So he goes up to her room. For a quick 5 minutes. Jumps on her bed. They're like hanging out, whatever.
He's so into her.
He really likes Sarah. And again, she explains the whole like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't talk to you, whatever. And he's like, it's cool. They're like making out, whatever.
Yeah.
He's gone for a long time. He finally goes back downstairs. And the other, which I think this is so... I kind of like this part because I don't like that he spent all that time with Sarah again. Like, it's just fueling the fire for both him and for Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Serena P who's getting the one-on-one. And Victoria was like, it's Serena's day now, so why don't you guys go ahead? Go ahead, it's Serena's day
again,
now.
Again, Victoria,
I
respecting
love that.
The game.
I did like that part. Like, obviously nobody wants to watch people go on a one-on-one that isn't them, but even Victoria was like, it's Serena's day now, so go do that date. Bye.
Right. I think she's more vindictive, like, against an enemy than against, a neutral party.
I agree.
So, eventually, they do go on the date.
I found the whole date to be super boring. I felt like they did not have, like, their connection was very average to me.
Yes.
Like, they went on horseback riding, then some donkey showed up, then they had dinner, and, like, I think he likes her, and I like that she said she was falling in like with him, because I think it's really annoying when you go on one date and they're like, I'm so in love.
Right.
I like that she said that. That was a very normal thing to say, but I felt like no sparks. I felt like it was super average and she'll go home in 2 weeks.
Yeah, no Jordans for sure. Jesus Christ. I would say that, so it's the vocabulary of the show is always so funny to me. And where she got to the point where she's like, I could one day see myself potentially falling in love with you, was like the most qualifying caveat to, yeah, I think I could see you. And Matt kind of returned the favor too a little bit. It's like, oh, I can see it too.
Yeah.
Most of the show is just one person saying one thing and the other person just head nodding or going like, I love that. I like that. Or that's great to hear.
It's usually, I love that. I love that. I love that. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. It's
ways to not agree, but look like you're agreeing.
I would love to see a transcript of the show transferred into what reading level is it?
Oh God. So
it probably has to be third or fourth grade.
If that.
Which humans speak at an elevated level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that should be reflected in the show.
Well, it won't ever. So
nope. So we're left with I love that.
I love that.
Couple things about this date that stood out to me. One, donkeys are cute.
Okay, donkeys I want
a little donkey now.
Cute. I always, every time I, and not that it's regularly, but every time I see a donkey, I just, because I usually see them in the live manger scenes that they always have.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so cute.
They're very adorable.
Their faces are so cute.
Right.
Their little stubby bodies are
so cute. Matt is a big turtle guy.
I thought you were going to say a big donkey.
No.
Yeah, all of a sudden he loves turtles. And I thought it was funny how Serena was making so much fun of him. And he was like, what do you mean? I like turtles.
Have you?
Yes.
This is a classic internet.
Oh, yeah.
Video. I like turtles. That Matt was bringing that energy to the show last night.
For sure.
Also, I think him being such an amateur in the charcuterie board game. It wasn't even charcuterie board, charcuterie blanket.
That was painful. What, he doesn't know anything about?
Well, he was like, I don't drink wine. First of all, wine isn't the make or break of a charcuterie board.
No, it's not.
It's nice to
it's
have.
A nice component, but.
Right.
Well, she was trying to instruct him, cracker, cheese, jam,
a little dried fruit, maybe some dark chocolate.
Right. I don't understand how he's never been around a charcuterie board before. Nor does he know how to dress his cracker.
Yeah.
Appropriately.
Yeah.
But hopefully he does now.
Yeah. So Serena ultimately gets the rose. They go to Mactown. Mm-hmm. Everything's okay there, I guess.
Fine. Very
average. I think she'll make it decently far, though.
A couple more weeks. Meh.
Yeah.
Very average.
But we get back to the Sarah drama. And it's really stewing with her. And
it's bothering the other girls a lot that she just hasn't come down or really talked to them much.
Yeah.
She does finally come down.
She comes down when the date card arrives.
When the date card arrives, and they just roast her.
Yeah.
They are
Kit and Victoria are kind of on the offensive the most.
Yeah.
Anna chimes in a little bit, but I think Kit and Victoria's were a little
MJ
more.
MJ was going MJ after MJ was. It.
But I think MJ and Anna were making better points about it. Mm-hmm. They were being more logical about it. Kit and Victoria were a little more malicious.
Yeah, I agree.
Still, shout out Victoria. Great app. Keep doing what you're doing. We love it. But that definitely took a toll on her. She kind of goes back to her room and Katie comes to talk with her. And this is the first time she reveals to someone else the struggles with what's going on at home with her dad.
So this part was super emotional. I was definitely tearing up.
Yeah.
So at this point, Sarah is kind of revealing to Katie that her dad, who has...
ALS.
He has ALS, right. I don't remember. He has ALS, and basically, they don't know how long he has left to live, but probably not a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's really weighing on Sarah that while she obviously has feelings for Matt and wants to pursue that, every day she spends there is another day she won't get to be with her dad and spend that time with him. And she's expressing that very emotionally to Katie, and Katie immediately starts crying and says, I get it. I lost my dad years ago, and I missed out on that opportunity, so... Because at first, Katie's tune was kind of like, I don't want you to leave because selfishly, I don't want to be a backup plan. I don't want him to think about you the whole time. And then when she explains more about her dad, Katie was saying, you know what? You have to go be with him. Mm-hmm. Matt will understand. I wish I would have had the chance. Go. And they had a really emotional kind of moment together. So Katie goes back down to the girls and Sarah's leaves to go talk to Matt. And I guess here's where I, on the one hand, so Katie went down and told the girls basically, but didn't say why.
She said she was leaving. She left it open. Yeah.
I guess I obviously respect that she didn't want to tell Sarah's business because
mm-hmm.
that wasn't her place, even though it was going to be on TV anyway.
Right.
Part of me almost wishes she would have told them because I feel like they all just rolled their eyes at, oh, she's at a family thing. Like, who cares? Like, see, yeah. Glad she's gone. And while, yes, I don't think Sarah handled everything very well, I think it would have given the girls like a little bit of better insight to know actually why, and that it wasn't just an excuse like, oh, I have a family thing, I'm going because the girls bullied me.
Yeah,
because I feel like they didn't get the whole picture.
I think it all kind of compounded throughout the episode, both her struggle with, you know, Matt being on dates with other women,
mm-hmm.
and the family stuff back home, and then the animosity from the other women. Like, it all kind of melted together into this pot for her that she's like, I've got to get out of here. And mm-hmm. I do think she made the right move, especially to go visit her dad in his last days, because that's definitely the more important thing than
absolutely
than this. I do still believe, though, that the beginning of the episode was more like not as much about that. I think right. it became more about that as she had more isolated time by herself, and she really put everything into perspective there.
Totally agree.
And we definitely hope that, you know, we don't know what has happened since then, but hopefully everything has gone as well as it can. Obviously, we know it's a terminal illness, so
right.
hopefully the family has found peace.
Yes, absolutely.
Will find peace.
And I do applaud her for doing what's best for her and her family, and also for her mental stability. That was another thing she kept saying, like, mentally she's not doing well.
Yeah.
And I have learned, as many people have, how important it is to, as challenging as can be, to get yourself out of situations that are not good for your mental health and get yourself in a better headspace.
Right.
And one of those things is not being friends with Evan anymore.
I bet you come back next week. They always
we
do.
We will see. But really, in all seriousness, I do applaud her for doing the best thing for herself. And
yeah.
I hope that, like you said, she's getting a lot to spend that time with her family. And that I hope the other women kind of maybe softened a little bit after hearing what actually kind of yeah. all went down.
So I talked about this with another friend today.
You have other friends?
Shockingly, I know. Wow. I pay this
Evan's
one.
Imaginary friends you talk to when yeah. I'm not here.
Yeah. Do you think that Sarah comes back at all this season?
Oh my God. My mom literally said that to me on the phone. Okay, was it my mom you were talking to?
Yeah.
Evan literally talked to my mom on the phone clearly today. Yeah. I wouldn't even be that surprised.
To be fair, I have like many friends who are women in their 40s.
Good. That's pretty on par for you, I would yeah. say. But to be fair, I also wouldn't be that surprised if you really did call my mom to talk to her about this.
My phone lines are open, Lisa. Give me a holler.
But my mom said the same thing. She said she thinks Sarah comes back. I wouldn't be that shocked if she comes mm-hmm. back. I don't think she will, because I think that regardless of if she feels better about the show situation, she's not going to change how she feels about her family and being there with her
yes.
dad. So I do not think she'll come back.
I also don't think she'll come back. I think the only circumstance that she does is if literally when she gets home, like, her dad passes away.
But he is still alive.
Which we don't want to happen.
Because I follow her on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Why didn't you just say that like 2 minutes ago?
Because I didn't know that was going to be something I needed to bring up.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, she posted a picture of her family very like 2 days ago or something. So
okay.
Her dad's very much still alive.
Okay, good.
Which is good, of course. But I do not think she
would. But yeah, I think that would have been the only scenario where it could have happened.
I agree.
And, you know, obviously glad that's not the circumstance that led to it. But we do get a batch of new girls, looks like next week. And I think
not to be confused with New Girl the Show.
Oh, I thought Zoe Deschanel was coming on.
What a great show.
And
though.
Schmidt and Winston, I thought they were all gonna join the cast.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That'd be great.
But I think that's where, again, I think Victoria is going to shine in that.
Victoria will definitely shine. I don't want new people to come. I'm having a hard enough time with the names of the current people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want five.
I've gotten good with the names of this group.
I don't know. I don't want more people to come. But I think it'll be like how it kind of was with Tayshia, where the new people will probably just like leave really quick.
Yeah. Well, again, I think they're just compensating for
the boringness.
Can't
of
travel.
Season.
Can't travel. And Matt's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his personality is as flat as his abs. But no, I take that back. They're no.
That's that's rude.
That is. I take that back. He's actually like a
know
good,
him.
His TV personality.
That's what I said.
His
earlier.
TV personality.
His regular personality is probably great. It's
totally.
But I don't think he's a made for TV person. Like, he seems like a great boyfriend. He seems like a great partner.
Right.
But not necessarily a good TV star.
Which I'm sure
star.
Like most of us aren't good TV
no.
stars.
No.
So yeah, that's coming up. So who do you think takes Sarah's place as like the fourth spot in our final four?
I don't know right now.
Because right now we said Rachel,
Bree,
Abigail. I could see Serena.
I was going to say, maybe Serena, but I just saw her go on a
moment.
Date. I don't know yet. Stay tuned.
I want it to be
I need
Katie.
A couple more weeks to decide.
I don't think it'll be Katie, but
I'd love for it to be Katie.
I would love for Victoria to stay around that long.
Oh, God. I need a couple more weeks to figure that out.
Okay, fair. I'll give you a couple more weeks.
Thanks.
But you better figure it out by then. Otherwise, you're out of here.
All right.
And I'm
fine.
Getting a new co-host.
Well, you have so many friends, so many women in their 40s you can ask.
Right, yeah. I'll host it with Lisa.
She'd love it.
Great.
She'd love it.
Okay, cool.
Great.
It's happening.
Lisa's the new co-host of Batch, please.
So we got some roses to give out. And actually, we're only going to give out one this week because we want to dedicate some time.
Yes.
Some condolences to a relationship.
Literally announced like a minute before we started this podcast is that Claire and Dale actually broke up. It was kind of been speculating for a couple of days. I've been seeing it on the internet. People were like wondering if they had broken up because they'd been spending a lot of time apart after the holidays. But Dale just posted that they did decide to break up. Are you surprised or are you not surprised?
At first I was surprised because I'm not surprised. It was so fast when it happened and they were in such like a contained like variable that out in the real world, like it's going to function way differently in general, but then you add on the layer of COVID to it. I think that makes a lot of things different. I think the first sign that I was like, maybe this won't be a long-lasting thing was when Chris asked the question about babies. And Dale was like, oh, not me, brother. And then Claire was like, let's go, pop them out. So I'm not entirely super-duper surprised.
I guess I'm just a little surprised because it really did seem like they were making a really solid effort. They were going back and forth to spend time with their families. And I had seen some of their posts, you know, since the show. And I don't know. I am kind of sad because while I did not love Claire as a bachelorette, I really just want her to be happy and be in love. And I was happy that her and Dale did seem so in love so quickly.
Right.
And it sucks. Like, this is her now second Bachelor Nation engagement that didn't work out, and I feel sad for her. Like, I really want her to be happy.
Do you think they'll make her Bachelorette again?
No, I don't.
This season.
I think it got a lot. I think her season got a lot of negative feedback.
I think so, too.
And I don't think they would do that, but
I actually don't think she would do it. I think she was kind of against how things went down.
Honestly, and one of the biggest reasons I feel like people end up breaking up from the show is the fact that, which is a huge problem with the show, which, again, you can't do anything about, is that they don't live in the same place.
Like, right, yeah.
Most of the time you fall in love with someone, you're like, oh, I live in LA and they live in Florida or they live in Texas and I live in New York. And it's like, okay, well, who's moving? Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. The whole thing is weird about, like, one of you has to uproot your life.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of months if Jason swoops in.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I think he's keeping tabs on this.
Interesting.
I bet, you know what? I'm going to go on the record.
Oh.
I'm going to say by the end of this year, they're dating.
Wow. Okay. I would be happy about that.
Yeah. So that's my thought on that. Okay. Let's give out a rose.
Okay. So my rose was the Beast rose. And when I say the Beast, I'm referring to the wooden roller coaster at Kings Island, the longest wooden roller coaster.
So if you guys have not been to Kings Island, it's a dope roller coaster, but also it kind of hurts you a little bit because it was made
the
60s.
It hurts a lot. Like,
but it's super fun.
For me,
it's like a 5-minute coaster.
I already have back problems and riding that makes me in so much pain. It's not really worth it, but every now and then I'll do it anyway, and I always regret it
because
it is so painful. But anyway, longest wind roller coaster, because I genuinely felt like I was on the longest wind roller coaster with Sarah, And I went back and forth so much with her about, wow, she's being so annoying. And I kind of understand where she's coming from. Oh my God, she's the worst. You know what? Now I actually understand. Oh, wait, she has this going on. Oh, I'm kind of sad. But she didn't really, like, I felt like 18 different ways about her yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was even texting you at one point and I was like, I'm so out on her. And you were like, wait, because I was a little behind. And you were like, all right, well, just wait because you might feel differently. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to feel differently. And then I kind of did.
Lo and behold, yeah. You felt differently.
Yeah, sure did.
I'm going to give my Ticketmaster scam rose to Marilyn.
Okay.
So imagine you're so excited for a concert and yeah. you buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, this ticket's going to get me in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go hear some tunes. Here's mm-hmm. some Dave Matthews Band, this concert.
Or Harry Styles.
Or Harry Styles or, I don't know, anybody else.
T-Swift,
Beyonce, Lizzo, you name it.
All of the above. What a power concert that would be.
That'd be a really cool festival.
Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
We should write something
like that. But you show up. They scan your ticket. Error. Doesn't work. You bought off a Ticketmaster scam site.
That's tough.
That's the Orchid. You thought the Orchid was going to be enough to get you to the next round.
That was kind of lame, though, that she got an Orchid and she was like, oh, my God, he got something special for me. And she went home.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So she got scammed.
She did. You're right. So I'm sure everyone's also really excited to hear that Evan and I are going to watch The Masked Dancer tonight.
Because we know this is why you come to this podcast.
We didn't watch it last week. And we're watching it tonight. But we have a new concept for a show.
The Masked Bachelor.
The Masked Bachelor. So what it would be is, who would the host be, Evan?
Ken Jeong.
Chris Harrison would have to make an appearance here and there because you can't do a bachelor show
without him.
Everyone wears a mask. Like, not a, you know, COVID mask. Like, a full-on
costume.
Like, you are costumed as a viewer, something else, for the entirety of the show. And the Bachelor or Bachelorette picks someone without having any idea what they look like.
Yeah.
So it's really about what's on the inside.
And you also have to call them by their character names.
Ma.
So it's like,
Sun.
Ma. Sun.
She could be
Star.
Like,
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Cotton
Will
candy.
You accept this rose? Like, that's how you have to do
Raisin.
It. Raisin. And then at the very end, when they have one person left to get their final rose, they get unmasked and see how it goes.
Yeah. No, I think this would be
great. It's a good
way
to really make sure you care what's on the inside, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm all in on this.
Me too. I think it's great.
We'll have our people reach out to Ken Jeong's people.
Absolutely.
If you don't know, Ken Jeong is the...
If you don't, then what are you doing?
Is basically the Chris Harrison of the Masked Universe. Get in on the show, guys. There's nothing else to do these
days.
It's
really great.
It's bonkers. It's totally bonkers.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. Before we go, if you guys want to reach out to us about any sort of Masked Singer, Masked Dancer, mm-hmm. Masked Bachelor, regular Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, anything, where can they find us?
Where can they find us?
Oh, boy. Pop quiz. I haven't been asked this in a while.
Just give a real answer. We're not messing around with your fake answers today.
All right. On Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, our Twitter account just got suspended forever.
What?
Yeah, oh. Kidding. You thought it was real.
What are you talking about?
You thought it was real.
It is going around these days, though.
Current events. Get used to it. Okay, batchpleasepod@gmail.com is our Gmail thing. Back to the Twitter, which we are actually not indefinitely suspended from. Batchpleasepod.
Mm-hmm. And Instagram.
Instagram, same thing, Batch Please Pod.
You got it.
Send us the tweets, send us the grams, all those things.
Anything you want. Presents. Snacks.
Snacks.
We'll accept anything.
Yeah, send us a snack through email, please. Let's see how that goes.
Love it.
All right. You guys have a good night.